Listen up, yo. Linha Linha Show. Listen up, yo. Linha Linha Show.
Listen, listen up, yo. The Linha Linha Show. Bumabalik every week. Parang yo-yo. Sa office, sa condo, sa FX, sa kanto. Walang pinipili, basta pili-pilipino. Listen, listen up,
to the millions and millions of listeners around the world. Welcome to the Linha Linha Show powered by Anima Podcasts. Ang kasama natin ngayon, a Filipina writer, trauma journalist, and former investigative reporter for Rappler, and the author of the recently launched book, Some People Need Killing, a memoir of murder in my country, Miss Patricia Evangelista. Boom!
Hello, magandang umaga o magandang gabi ba dyan?
Gabi, magandang gabi dito Pat at magandang umaga sa'yo. Kumusta Pat, kumain ka na ba?
Okay lang naman, bagong gising.
Bagong gising. So hindi pa kumakain.
Okay lang, kape.
Kape.
Pwede
so,
na.
Usually hindi ka nagbe-breakfast. Coffee lang din lunch.
Hindi rin naman. Oo.
Mm-hmm. Nasaan ka ngayon, Pat?
Ngayon nasa Toronto ako. Siguro sa mga susunod na araw balik sa New York.
Sa New York. And then kailan ang balik mo sa Pilipinas?
Hindi pa natin alam. Malapit.
Malapit na. Okay, pero pagka uwi mo ng Pilipinas, kailangan makita tayo in person. Okay ba yan?
Yes, of course.
Ayun, kasi Pat, syempre, no, kaya tayo nandito. Una, masaya ako no, na makita ka in person ba to? Hindi, no? Pero makausap ka. No? Siguro konting throw background. Ano? Combination siya ng throwback at background. Na... Siguro una kong encounter with you or una kita nakita sa isang video when you won an international public speaking championship.
Tagal na nun ah.
Ilan na ba yun? Ilan taon na yun?
20 years, exactly, actually.
Oh, wow, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I was 18, so I'm 38 now.
Wow, grabe. Ilan ako nun? 20 years ago. 16.
Nagpapakita na tayo ng edad.
Oo nga eh. Naku, ano ko pa naman. 2 years old lang ako nun, bale.
Sure.
Pero sabi ano mo eh. Ang inaalala ko kung saan ko siya napanood kasi wala pa namang YouTube ata nun eh. Wala pa, no?
Parang wala pa. Oo.
And I think pinapanood sa amin sa school eh. If I'm not mistaken.
Talaga.
I think so.
Sensa.
Grabe, no? Pero sabi ko, shucks, ang galing, no? Pero, after that, mas napapanood ka ng marami na, no? Dun sa mga gawa mo sa storyline, no? Bilang producer at docu-filmmaker na, can I just say, paborito kong panoorin noon.
Maraming salamat. At to be fair, hindi mo ako mapapanood dun kasi off-cam ako, eh.
Yes,
yun
yes.
Yung goal ng storyline na hayaan yung mga tao magkwento, syempre, alam naman natin na na-edit siya, na may direktor, na sinulat ko yung pagkabuo nung show. Pero ayaw naming may ibang muka na haharap para maging filter nung ibang tao.
Yeah, naalala ko tama, di ba? Parang yung mga featured, yung mismong nagsasalita. Tama ba?
Mm-hmm.
Sila yung nagkukwento mismo.
So, ang kasama ko noon, si Direk Paolo Villaluna, na kaibigan ko pa rin hanggang ngayon. Pero kitang-kita mo yung boses niya doon eh, sa pagkuha. At maririnig mo rin yung boses ko sa pag-frame ng storya. So, hindi naman kami magpa-pretend na kinuha yung interview, hinagi sa audience yun na yun. Kasi laging crafts work yun eh, diba? So, i-combine mo, bubuuhin mo, isusulat mo. Sobrang swerte kami na binigyan kami yung pagkakataon dati ng ANC saka ABS-CBN.
Yeah. So, after storyline, tama ba? Tawid ka na agad to Rappler after that?
After story, nagpatong-patong kasi yung mga yan eh. So, sa pagsusulat, nagsimula ako Philstar, tapos Inquirer, tapos kasama dyan Esquire, and then Inquirer. Rappler. Tapos for broadcast na naghalo na lahat, simula ako sa ANC Ano, Studio 23. Tapos, ANC, na may halong ABS-CBN, Diretso Rappler.
Okay. So, nagpatalon-talon ka na rin niya, ano?
Oo.
And siguro may encounter din ng konti yung linya-linya with ano Rappler nung nag-collab kami with Rappler for yung 10th year anniversary na shirt. Ninyo. And nagka-hoodie rin kaming na nilabas. No? Sana umabot naman sa'yo yung mga yun. Patan, umabot
may umabot din naman. Salamat.
Akala ko, ano, iilan lang. Pero ako sinusuot ko minsan. At yun, Pat, no, lumalabas na rin sa feed ko for the past weeks itong launch nga ng book mo. And in fact, naunahan pa ako ng girlfriend ko, si Rich, na bilhin yung book. No? So,
okay, salamat.
Oh, so, nandito tayo about, gusto ko rin yan pag-usapan, yung bago mong labas na libro. Pero yun, can you tell us more about the project?
Some People Need Killing is a book that I published under Random House. May hawak sa North America ay Random House, New York. Sa UK, nalalabas in a few days, it's Grove Atlantic. So, libro siya tungkol sa gera kontra droga sa Pilipinas. Pero ang konteksto niya ay mga paniniwala natin, mga lingwahe natin, kung paano natin tinitingnan yung mundo, kung bakit tayo naniniwala o may mga taong naniniwala na may mga taong dapat patayin. So, nagsimula ako mag-cover ng drug war 2016 kasama nung night shift. Hindi naman ako nag-iisa eh. Napakaraming mga magagaling at malakas yung loob ng mga photographer at reporter mula sa iba't ibang ahensya na nag-cover ng drug war. So, siguro bandang 2019, sinimulan ko yung libro. Tapos, 5 taon bago natapos. Higit kumulang kasama yung reporting, 7 taon bago malatala yung libro.
Wow. Okay, so 2019 sinimulan yung libro at ngayon siya lumabas, no? So, itong 2016, pagkaupo ni Rodrigo Duterte, kailan kayo nagsimula nung pagsubaybay sa drug war, itong group nyo na sabi mo nga night shift?
Very organic yung grupo eh. So wala naman talaga nagplano. Isa-isa dating ng mga tao. So organic yung grupo. Wala naman talaga nagplano. Isa-isa yung dating sa pag-cover. Ako nagsimula ako August 2016. Marami sa night shift nagsimula June pa lang sa kalye na. July, nung talagang pumalo. Ako, nung run-up papunta ng eleksyon nung 2016, nagtatrabaho pa ako sa Rappler noon. Gumawa ako ng collaborative series with a sociologist named Nicole Corato. Ang tawag namin, Imagine President. So, tinignan namin lahat ng mga tumatakbong pangulo at ano yung kwento na binibigay nila sa publiko. Kung totoo man siya, kung hindi man, yun yung kabubuuan nung naratibo na pinapaniwalaan ng mga tao, whether for the good or for the bad. Alala ko yung huli kong nilabas was right before the elections. Ang huli namin was kay Pangulong Rodrigo Duterte. Alala ko yung huling linya ko, I said that if he won, the streets would run red. And I regretted that line. Ano ko eh, maingat ako magsulat eh. And I thought both ways, both as a journalist and as a writer. Masyadong dramatic yung linya. It's not the way I write. And then I think sometime in August or September, hindi ko maalala, yung maraming patayan na bawat gabi. Lala ko, nakatayo ako sa sidewalk. May katawan. Matingin ako sa baba. Nag-notes ako. And then bumaba ako sa gutter. Mas mababa ng konti. Kita ko, dumalo yung dugo sa taas ng bota ko, galing doon sa sidewalk. And then naisip ko, eh siguro hindi nga mali yung linya. Walang drama yun, totoo.
Wow. No, so, parang pinatunayan pa nung nakita mo, no, yung sinulat mo. Parang akala mo siguro, exaggeration siya, pero wow, nangyayari pala talaga siya. And, ano no, Pat, napanood ko rin kasi sa YouTube yung sa Columbia mo, no, yung launch ng book mo. naalala ko na public speaking champion niya pala talaga to si Pat. Kasi,
oh God.
Grabe yung performance level, yung talk mo doon. And kahit video ko lang siya nakita, parang naramdaman ko yung pagkwento mo doon, compelling at moving talaga.
Salamat.
And yun, sa mga listeners natin, hanapin nyo sa YouTube yung Some People Need Killing book launch event with Patricia Evangelista and Maria Ressa, uploaded siya by DART Center for Journalism and Trauma. So, ako sakto rin kasi, bumubuelo pa ako dun sa pagbasa ng book. No, Pat? Nag-aagawan kami nung girlfriend ko dun sa libro. Actually, iniram ko muna sa kanya. So, parang medyo, nakailang chapters na siya. So, iniram ko muna, sabi ko, sakto, mag-uusap tayo. Pero, nasa prologue pa lang ako nung book. Pero, yun, no, obviously, isa ka sa mga pinakamahusay na long-form journalist and literary non-fictionist sa Pilipinas o sa mundo pa nga, no? Ang tanong ko, saan ka pinaka nag-e-enjoy at bakit?
Saan? Meaning, aling genre, aling yeah. medium, video ba, o speaking?
Mm-mm.
Hirap yan eh. Kasi sa lahat naman ng ginawa ko, ang gusto mo naman makuha yung kwento. Meaning, kung public speaking man yan, o documentary, o even a public interview, or pagsusulat, non-fiction siya eh. So, laging may tanong, laging may sagot, laging mong bubuuhin kung ano man yung katotohanan na hanap mo. So, mahirap sabihin enjoy yung trabaho eh. Kasi yung mga storya na pinupuntahan ko, pinipili ko, the grief and the agony is so massive that any thought of enjoyment feels offensive, I think that's the word. But I am a craftsman. So, minsan may moments na nakaupo ka sa desk mo, iniisip mo kung ano yung pangungusap, and then minsan tama yung salita. It's the inevitable word. It's the only right word. And that's very rare. Sobrang rare yun mangyari. So, kung kahit ano man dinidescribe, kahit ano yung sinusulat, may moment ka na, yun, kaya ko. Kaya ko yung isang sentence sa yun. This is a book with 90,000 words. And siguro nangyari yun mga 5 or 6 times na yun yung sentence, yung salita. So yun, minsan, pag nasa labas ka sa interview, sa field ka, may sasabihin sa yung source mo, napipitik sa likod ng tenga mo. Yun na yun, na-get mo na. Kasi hindi ka naman papasok sa interview na alam mo yung sagot eh. So magugulantang ka na lang dun sa sagot and isipin mo, yung pala yun. So I think it must have been 2018. Nag-i-interview ako ng mga vigilante. Hindi ko masasabi sa'yo mga pangalan nila o kung saan ko sila in-interview. Kasi yun yung ano eh, yun yung, that's the contract between yourself and your interviewee. In places where investigations require na pupunta ka sa mga lugar na walang safety eh.
Mm-hmm.
Parang the only condition is faith. It's an act of faith to interview na magtatanong ako, sasagot siya. Kukwento ko sa kanya sino ako, sasabihin niya sa akin kung bakit siya pumapatay. Mangangako ako, hindi ko uulitin yung pangalan niya. Siguro, sa isip niya, alam niya, hindi niya ako siguro babarilin. So, that's the act of faith, di ba? And habang tumatakbo yung interview, kapit ka dun sa paniniwala na yun. And you hold fast na you will deliver what you promise to deliver. And in the aftermath of the interview, the only thing you can do is still hold the faith. So, I'll tell you about Simon. Hindi niya pangalan yun. Mamatay tao siya. Pero, because I'm keeping faith, I won't tell you his name. Si Simon, galing siyang Tondo. Isa siya sa grupo ng mga, tinatawag nila sarili nila talaga na vigilante. Mapatay sila ng tao, mga addict, mga kriminal. Sabi nila sa akin, may kumpas ng pulis. Trabaho lang. Importante siya. Para kay Simon na dalawa na yung napatay at pag sinabi niyang pumatay, siya yung umatak ng trigger. Hindi ibig sabihin hindi siya tumulong sa ibang bagay. Surveillance, sumusunod ng mga tao, siya yung tatayo sa harap ng bahay, titingnan, "Oy, sir, ganda ng pintura ng bahay niyo. Oy, sir, ganda ng pinto." Tapos makikinig siya. Surveillance. Siya yung magsasabi, "Oh, pwede na. Andiyan siya sa bahay." Trabaho, sabi niya. At para sa kanya, importante yung trabaho kasi pag successful yung trabaho, bawas na isang kriminal, isang addict na pwedeng i-endanger yung buhay ng mga anak niya. Anyway, magkaharap kami ni Simon sa hotel room. Kasama ko, photographer ko. And the day before na tinuloy namin to, pangalawa, pangatlong vigilante ko na yan yata, pero nag-security assessment ang hapler. Sabi nila, siguraduhin mo. Kayong dalawa, siguraduhin nyo na bago kayo mag-interview, walang baril yung i-interview nyo. Sabi namin, okay, sige, kapkapan bago magsimula. So nakaupo kami doon. Masok si Simon, "Ma'am, banyo lang ako." So banyo siya, lock ng pinto. Narinig ko na. Siyempre, yung utak mo tumatakbo eh, mabilis. Tsaka, ano, kontrolado ka lagi. So, iniisip ko, may naririnig ako, nag-assemble ba siya ng barel, naglalagay ba siya ng bala, ano ba? Nung pabukas na yung pinto, tingin ako sa photographer ko. Sabi ko, "Oh, kailangan kapkapan. Baka may barel. Hindi ako pwede mag-record." Sabi niya, tingin siya sa akin, "Sige. Ano gagawin ko pag may barel?" Hindi namin naisip. Hindi naisip ng rappler. So, moment na yon, bilis ka, iniisip ka. Sabi ko, ayoko malaman. Hanggang ngayon, hindi ko alam kung may baril siya nun. Pero po siya, usap kami. Sabi niya, yung pagpatay, parang pagiging addict lang. Sa simula, takot ka. Pagkatapos, okay na. Sabi ko, "Ba't ka pumapatay?" Sabi mo, "Mabuti kang tao." Sabi kasi niya, religious siya, may asawa at anak siya. Oh, may baril siya, pero para sa kanya, mabuti siyang tao. How does he square that with being what he calls a good person? Sabi niya sa akin, "Ma'am, buti naman akong tao, hindi naman ako masama. May mga tao lang na kailangan kapatayin." Nung narinig ko, nag-translate kagad, "Some people need killing." And I thought about that for years. And sabi ko, that is the starkest way to put it. That, not that you should kill, but some people require, demand, deserve killing, need to be killed. Yun yung operative verb eh. Diba? Need. Kailangan. May, walang accountability kasi hindi mo naman sinabi na kailangan sila patayin. By virtue of who they need to die. So, across the years, I thought of that until the book. Si Simon ang paalis siya. Alala ko, nag-sorry pa siya sa akin. "Ma'am, sorry. Kailangan umalis ng 7. Alis ako ng 7 kasi may trabaho pa. Alam ko na may susunod. Hindi ko alam ang gagawin ko. Hindi ko alam pangalan. Hindi ko alam kung sino. Pero alam ko may kasamang polis." So, across the years, that was the sentence I kept hearing. Some people need killing. And when the book is out, now that the book is out, I keep thinking, it's not so much a sentence also, it's a question we all ask ourselves. Do some people need killing? And all over the world, in the context of violence and quite a lot of things, yun naman sinasabi ng mga tao eh, di ba? May mga taong dapat patayin. So siguro kung may gusto akong maiwan yung libro, isipin, di ba? Kailangan ba talaga? Kasi yung trabaho ko, tumayo sa taas ng tao eh. Isipin, kailangan ba siya dapat mamatay? So siguro lahat ng tao dapat ano yun.
Grabe. Parang pinapakinggan ko pala yung kwento, nararamdaman ko na yung bigat at yung tension nung nandun sa kwarto na yun, ano, kung saan mo man siya kinausap. And siguro yung isa kong tinatanong sa isip ko ngayon, parang paano mo rin nakukuha yung loob eh, or tiwala nung i-interviewin mo. parang paano yung nagiging proseso mo to convince them to talk, at paano mo rin ako kumbinsi yung sarili mo to do what you do, no, given na alam mong may danger tong trabaho na to. So una siguro yung kausap mo, paano mo napapaabot sa point na napapapayag mo sila at ikaw rin napapapayag mo yung sarili mo to do the interview.
Ang ibig sabihin mo ba yung mga vigilante?
Hmm.
Hindi ka maniniwala na charming ako, no?
Mukhang yun. Pero bukod dun.
I can't tell you how.
Okay.
Because there are people who will be endangered by that. And the less I say, the better. I can't tell you that there are rules to it. Na hindi ka pwede magbayad para sa kwento. The most you can do, share kayo ng Yossi. Kumain kayo. Pero kailangan gustuhin nila. Kailangan gusto nila magkwento. Yun naman lagi. Hindi lang naman vigilante. Lahat ng tao. Hindi mo mapapakwento ang ayaw magkwento. So, kasama na dyan mga pulis. Kasama na dyan kung sino man. Kung may gusto magkwento, makikinig ako.
Okay. Siguro ano rin, in relation to yung narrative na kinuwento mo, kasi natanong ko yung ano yung na-enjoy mo, no? And nailang din ako sa word na yun, ano? Pero do I take it to mean na yung delight na nakukuha mo sa chase, yun nga, sa seeking the story, yun ba yung act of journalism?
I think that's a really difficult word to use. Delight. Understand, I operate in an environment where in most cases, someone has to die or someone has to get hurt or someone has to be traumatized for me to be there. And it's a terrible thing. So I wouldn't also call it delight or enjoyment. It's the job, really. And if you want to say there might be enjoyment or delight or even satisfaction, it would be in the rare instances when I think we did the job right, na nakuha mo yung tamang salita para i-describe yung sitwasyon, na nakuha mo yung tamang sagot, kung ano man yung sagot, na i-explain kung bakit nangyayari yung mga nangyayari. Or in very rare instances, na may nagbago dahil may ginawa ka. Very, very rare instance. Yeah, I guess yun. Na sana magawa mong maayos.
Baka fulfillment ba yung word? And siguro Pat, ano, parang nararanasan ko ngayon yung hirap din ng pagpili ng mga tamang salita, no, para i-describe yung ginagawa mo. No? And I think baka yun din yung sinasabi mong struggle, na kaya it takes time to write this book, dahil kailangan mong mapares yung actual na nangyari dun sa sa mga tamang salita na makakapag-transmit nung gusto mong maikwento sa mga readers mo. Mukhang mahirap man talaga siya.
Mahirap siya, man. Oo.
Mahirap.
Yeah.
And siguro isa ko pang iniisip yung kanina binanggit mo na sabi nung ni Simon na trabaho lang, no, trabaho lang. Mm. Pero parang iba rin yung trabaho lang sa naniniwala talaga siyang kailangan siyang gawin, eh.
Mhm.
'Di ba? Parang mas maganda pa nga ata na sana alam niyang mali, eh. Pero kailangan niya lang gawin sa sarili niya para mabuhay din siya. Pero kapag yung naniniwala talaga siyang kailangan siyang gawin at parang noble act yung ginagawa niya, parang, di ba parang mas delikado pa yun?
Are you asking me what I think of Simon?
Siguro. Ayun, iniisip ko lang kung anong iniisip niya, eh. Kasi, and siguro kung si Simon lang or yung iba pang mga nakakausap mo?
Merong mga kasama sa grupo na pumapatay dahil binabayaran. May bayad naman eh. Si Simon, ang pagkakwento niya sa akin, hindi siya masyado nabayaran. Pero okay lang. Kasi importante yung ginagawa niya. Meron mga iba na mura lang ang buhay eh. So, grupo-grupo yan. Lima, anim sila sa mga street corner. May na-interview ako, pangalan Angel. Tawag sa kanya. Explain niya sa akin, ma'am, ako yung finisher. Sabi ko, ano yun? Trabaho niya, pag siguro tatlo, apat na tao, susundan yung target. Pag sinusundan yung target, si Angel, nakatayo lang sa kanto. Minsan, kumakain ng mami, lomi. Minsan, nag-yosi lang or nagsa-cellphone. Tapos, pipiti ka na yung target, babarilin. Tapos tatakbo na. Talo ng motorsiklo, talo ng van. Tapos lalayo na si Angel, siya yung lalapit sa katawan. Parang usyoso lang. Titingnan kung buhay pa. Kung buhay pa, siya yung babaril. To finish. Finisher. Pero kung patay na, layo lang siya. Usyoso. Walang ginawa. So, ganun. At kay Angel, importante rin yung pera. Siyempre, niniwala din naman siya. Pero, alam niya na business to, trabaho to. So, iba-iba yung levels ng paniniwala nila. Iba-iba din yung mga linya na dinodraw nila. For example, yung iba bawal bata, iba ayaw babae. Yung iba, wawarn nila, yung kaibigan nila. Kung target sila, it really depends.
Wow. So parang may ano pa pala, no? Kumbaga, may game plan din talaga. At may mga rules. At grupo sila to make sure na tapos ang trabaho.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but ask kung yung itsura ba nila ay unassuming or the typical look na naiisip ng mga tao when they watch movies.
I cannot answer that question.
Yeah. Okay.
In that entire chapter, there was no physical description at all.
And ano siguro, giging ano rin ba yun, Pat? Parang mas fitting yung medium ng writing.
Absolutely. Yes. Dati kasi, nung simula nung gera, nagbibit-bit pa ako ng camera. May photographer ko nun, pero ako yung videographer. So, kompleto yan. Dala ko yung F100, dala ko yung mga lente ko, dala ko yung audio. Nag-shoot pa rin ako. And minsan, may kasama akong iba na mag-shoot na kasama. Si Paolo, sasama yan minsan. Pero, I understood very early on na ang intrusive ng camera. Yung mga kwento na gusto ko ikwento, hindi pwedeng may camera sa kwarto. Hindi ka pwede may video camera sa vigilante. At parang, ang sa akin kasi gusto ko malaman yung kwento. So, ang mataas yung takot ng mga nanay, ng mga witness, yung mga survivor na when you do trauma work kasi, you want to make the situation as comfortable for them as possible. Sure, may consent ka, pero iba pa rin yung bigay. And minsan, magkukwento sila, hindi pa nila alam kung willing sila ikwento o hindi. So, kwento lang. Sasabihin mo, pwede bang i-record? Sasabihin na, sige, pero pag-isipan natin mamaya. Or mamaya, papaulit mo yung kwento kung hindi ka naka-recorder. Pero, maraming nagagawa ang salita na hindi kaya. Para sa akin, hindi kaya ng camera. Mostly because hindi ko lingwahe ang video. I don't have the vocabulary for it. There are many, many grand, great filmmakers. I'm not one of them. But language, I understand. So, there are many things I can say, I can describe that I don't have the capacity for with a camera. So, I think as a writer, it served me well that I carried nothing other than a recorder and a notebook.
Mm-mm. So, yun na rin yung tanong ko siguro next, yung na sort of na sasagot mo na rin, no? Yung pinakamalaking difference ng visual storytelling tulad ng ginagawa niyo sa storyline before at itong mm-hmm. writing on the page, no? And again, more on the process to na may mga switch ka ba sa isip mo na tinatoggle kapag camera ang instrument versus keyboard?
Oo. Dapat, kailangan. Kasi pag nasa field ka, may camera ka. Editor kasi ako eh. So, I am a sufficient filmmaker, meaning I'll shoot enough. But I am truly no artist when it comes to video. So, nakikita ko yung narrative in my head. I know where one shot goes to the next, to tell the story. So, I will shoot according to that. I'll take everything I can get. But laging in my head, okay, kailangan i-frame yan. Kailangan i-tripod mo to. Uy, may umaandar na eroplano. Hold muna tayo. So, very, very technical ka mag-isip pag ganun. At least ako, hindi ko alam mga ibang filmmaker. Pero dahil mag-isa ka, talagang saluhin mo lahat. Uy, tumatakbo ba yung recorder? Uy, nakadoble ba yung microphone? Nagfe-flare ba yung ilaw sa mata ng babae? Mga ganung bagay. Komportable ba siya? Tama ba eyeline namin pag nag-interview? You are always in pursuit of that final 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And you try to make it as compelling as possible. But there are many things you have to think about. As a writer, then I can absorb better. In that, I can walk into a scene and see everything and hear everything. And it doesn't matter if there's an airplane flying overhead. I will write, there's an airplane flying overhead. My methodology, in the same as with film, with writing, there's always a methodology. And for me, because I've been doing it a long time, I had to build my own framework for the field. And I think I spoke about this in Colombia, what I would do during the war. Pag crime scene kasi, pag marami, tapos sunod-sunod, kailangan grounded ka sa scene, hindi nagkakalat emosyon mo, hindi nagkakalat yung stress, hindi nagkakalat yung concern dun sa, uy, baka may pumuputok pa ng baril, baka may nangyayari pa. Kontrolado dapat. And ang control mo yung sarili mo. That's all you've got. You have to be absolutely in control. So, I would ask the same questions every night. I would ask, salvaging ba yan? By bus ba yan? Drive-by ba yan? Body dump ba yan? Na iniwan lang sa kalye ng EDSA? Yung mamamatay tao ba? Police ba? O vigilante? Yung katawan ba? Nakatali ba yung kamay? May baril ba sa sahig? May sign ba na nakasulat na addict siya? Yung ulo ba binalot ng packing tape? Yung katawan ba? Sinuksok ba sa bag? Pag tinanong mo na yun, susunod ka na. Tama ba yung kalye na nakasulat? Meron bang investigating officer? Yung mga tambay, alam ba nila yung pangalan ng patay? Then sunod-sunod, one after the other, proseso yan. Ang natutunan ko though, nung drug war na hindi ko ginagawa dati, tuto akong tumayo, tumahimik, tapos pakinggan mo saan yan nagagaling yung sigawan, yung hiyaw, hindi sigawan, hiyaw, yung iyak. Doon malalaman ko nasan yung pamilya. Punta ka doon, tahimik ka lang, kamaingay. Babaan mo yung boses mo, simple lang yung tanong. Yung mga tao kasi in the aftermath of trauma, and you know this about yourself, in that nagkalat yung mundo nila eh. Everything just crashed at that single second. They have no control of anything. And the worst question to ask is, nayan o pakiramdam niyo? Ano yun? Diba? Pag namatayan ka ng tatay, ng nanay, gusto mo ba tanungin ka na pakiramdam? The world just ended. So to articulate feelings is impossible. And to be asked as if you have to explain your feelings is also difficult. At dahil mabait tayo, mga Pinoy, okay, sumagot ng tanong eh. Pipilit na yung sarili nila sumagot even if they're crying. And it's hard. So the way I ask is to ask factual question, and that's part of trauma training. Ano pangalan niya? San siya pinanganak? Ano trabaho niya? Kailan mo siya huling nakita? Paano mo nalaman na wala na siya? At kung gusto mo malaman kung ano yung nararamdaman nila at the moment of incident, the question I ask is, ano tumatakbo sa isip mo? Factual yun eh. Ano naisip mo? Nung narinig mo yung putok ng baril, ano naisip mo? And for me, the best question to ask always, ano sunod na nangyari? Ano sunod na nangyari? So essentially, it's tell me a story, what happened next. And for me, alam ko na I did my job. Although most of the time I forget some one thing or the other. Is when pag after ng interview or after ng crime scene, kung ano man, minsan wala naman ako sa crime scene eh. Minsan nasa simbahan ako nag-interview ng witness. Pero binubuo nila eh, kwento sa loob ng imahinasyon mo. Bago ako sumakay ng kotse, kung pumikit ako at nakikita ko yung kwarto o yung highway o yung kung saan man pinatay yung tao, in 360 degrees kung nakikita ko yung buong kwarto, kung nakikita ko kung nasan yung bintana, kung nasan yung baril sa sahig, kung naalala ko na nung nakita ko yung dugo, nisip ko parang tomato ketchup ang kapal. Or kung maalala ko na yung police, dahil naubusan ng evidence bag, pumasok ng 7-Eleven, humingi ng bag ng 7-Eleven, doon nilagay yung basyo ng bala. Kung maalala ko yun, kung maalala ko na yung papel na nahanap sa bulsa nung patay, kasulat, adik ako. Yung font Times New Roman, size 12, all caps. Kung maalala ko lahat yan, na yung bala pumutok sa kanan, hindi sa kaliwa. Na yung mamamatay tao, hindi sumakay ng getaway car, hindi sumakay ng motorsiklo, hindi man tumakbo. Naglakad lang. Umutok, tapos naglakad. Kung naalala ko lahat yon, yung tunog nung hiyaw, yung kulay ng sapatos, yung dugo dun sa doorknob, ibig sabihin pwede ako umuwi. Kasi nakompleto ko yung story sa isip ko. So when you ask about process, about investigation, because I'm a writer, I cannot write about what I cannot see, even if I wasn't there. I have to construct it in my head.
Whew. I can only imagine yung ano, yung nangyayari dyan. And ako parang nahirapan akong isipin din paano mo natatanggap lahat ng mga bagay na yan. Kasi niisip ko hindi mo lang siya nakikita, no? In person, nararamdaman mo, no, na aamoy mo, at saka to some extent feeling ko nalalasahan mo rin eh, kasi kapag naaamoy mo parang dumadampi rin sa dila mo eh. So yun, nandun yung naglalaring isip ko paano mo siya natatanggap, and yung ano, yung necessary groundedness na kailangan sa trabaho, sa crime scene, ang bigat ng impact nun. And the need to require absolute objectivity to do justice to the story. Ang tanong ko, does it somehow require one to suspend empathy? And how did that impact your mental health?
It doesn't require absolute objectivity. That doesn't exist. Diba? Even as a younger reporter, alam ko na yan eh. Kasi just the choice of what story to cover shows your hand. Call mo yun eh. Unless in-assign ka. Dahil pinili ko to. Na-objective. Alam ko kasi story yan. Alam ko importante yan. I think, when was that? Early in the war, I was interviewed somewhere also. The U.S. about given the number of dead and the difficulty in your country to speak up, how do you keep resisting? Angas pa lang sagot ko eh. Sabi ko, I'm a journalist. I'm not the resistance. It's not my job. I just tell the story. But I'm older now and I've covered more dead. I think the fact of coverage is resistance in a country where it's supposed to be acceptable. So tanggap ko na yun, na I can still be a journalist. And akala ko kasi dati, lahat tayo naniniwala, masama pumatay. Ang ganun. Akala ko lahat tayo naniniwala na walang taong dapat patayin. Siguro, in the face of self-defense, in the very, very rare instance where there's no choice, yes. But to come out and say some people need killing, I didn't think that existed as an opinion, as a belief. So, dahil akala ko lahat ng tao iniisip masama ang pagpatay, akala ko objective ako, or at least akala ko hindi ko kailangan mag-resist. Kasi lahat naman tayo naniniwala nun eh. So, ang trabaho ko lang, i-document yung mga palya. I-document na nangyayari. And then sasabihin ng mga tao, sama naman nangyayari. Whether they believe me or not, whether the investigation is good or not, whether the writing stands up, that's all up in there. But I thought there was the same baseline. Gumalaw eh, yung linya. Ordinaryo na yung pagtanggap ng pagpatay. So, the work I do does not require objectiveness. If it did, I don't think it is feasible to do the job. But you're right, it does require a lot of control. And I think on the field, dahil ang raming nangyayari, ang raming tao, it's actually easier to be controlled than when you're at your desk. Kasi ang daming at stake. And mas malaki yung storya sa'yo eh. Mas maraming nangyayari na wala kang karapatan pumalya. So, it's at your desk. Pag nagkakalat na yung isip mo, na mas mahirap siya to pull back the reins and say, this is the job.
Yung dun sa ano, Pat, dun sa pag-suspend ng empathy, nararanasan mo ba siya? Parang kailangan, yun nga, mag-hold back ka muna sa ganun para matapos yung trabaho. And then, paano rin yung effect dun sa mental health mo?
I don't think you can ever suspend empathy. And that pag nasa field ka, empathy is not necessarily the showing of anything. It's not acting on it. It's the knowing. You know? It's watching pag nakita mo yung tatay, nakatingin siya dun sa kabaong ng anak niya sa sala nila. Kasi saan ka maglalamay kung andun ka sa gitna ng payatas o ng tondo? Di ba maglalamay ka sa sala mo, kung may sala ka, yung tulugan mo katabi ng kabaong. Makikita mo yung tatay, nakatayo doon, gigising siya. Every morning, makikita niya yung katawan ng anak niya sa loob ng kabaong pero wala siyang pera pang libing. Tapos sasabihin niya sa'yo, every day na hindi nila nililibing, parang pinapatay ulit yung anak niya. You feel it. You understand it. You are empathetic. Do you do anything about it? That's the difference. I don't. I don't pay for the burial. I could. I could raise the money. I could take it out of my salary. I could do many things. I don't, though. And I don't think that's I don't know what to call it. It's not so much a failure of empathy. It's also not a moral judgment. Sa akin, trabaho yun eh. In that, the moment ako magbayad, binili ko yung kwento. At hindi ko na pwede ikwento. So every time, nagjo-juggle ka, isipin mo, ano mas importante. In most cases, nananalo, it's a journalist. You have to tell the story. That's why you're here. In other cases, I would think, kaya ko ba umuwi? Wala akong gawin. In most cases, I don't do anything. And part of my internal rules is when I explain what I'm doing, I make no promises. I don't say baka magkaroon ng hustisya or baka may tumulong. Minsan, lalapit ako, sasabihin ko, naglabas kami ng storya, may nag-approach. Gusto tumulong. So, hindi na po dadaan sa akin yan, bibigay ko po yung phone number niyo. Ganun, pwede. But most of it, I can't do. I don't know what that says about me as a person. And there are other journalists who will do differently, who I suspect are much better human beings than I am. We all have ways to cope. For me, it's following the rules, at least my own. I think that's it. It's not empathy, I think. You just take it home and live with it.
Sige, dun sa ano ulit, sa process ulit, Pat, no? So para sa mga writer of witness na tulad mo, na parang naisip ko nga parang nangyayari ng dalawa, baka nga lang hindi dalawang beses, ano, yung kwento, no? Unang beses sa pagdating mo sa eksena, no? As you gather your information. And for the second time, kapag uupo ka na at susulat. Actually, baka may in-between pa na kapag binabalikan mo yung recording, di ba? Or binabalikan mo yung notes mo. Pero, yun, tatawid ka sa pag-upo at pagsusulat, no? Yung sa second, yung sa last na instance, sinabi ko, no? Can you run us through what goes on in your mind pag susulat ka na? Kapag kakaharap mo na yung blank page, no? May dagat ka ng memorya at, ano, no? Talaksan ng research at notes at transcripts ng interviews. How do you write the first line? The next, paano mo napapaabot sa dulo ng kwento yung kwento?
I can walk you through process. It's a long one. Una field, di ba? Mahaba yan. Simula ka ng crime scene, sunod ka sa pamilya, sunod ka sa lamay, sunod ka sa witness. Pag nakuha mo yung spot report, hanapin mo yung investigating officer. Pasadahan mo lahat. Tingnan mo yung it's not the writing. So, titingnan mo the contradictions, titingnan mo yung timeline, titingnan mo ano yung hindi logical to yourself as well as to other people. You try to get as many witnesses as possible. And then, while this is all happening, nagta-timeline ka na eh. Susulat ka na. Pinoproseso mo na. Pero kalat pa yan. Halo-halo pa yan. When you've got everything you can get, at least for that moment, ang sa akin, transcript muna ng lahat ng interview. Sometimes ako gagawa, sometimes ibang tao, pero papakinggan ko pa rin. And then I go through transcript, I go through a very, very, very detailed timeline. Everything I can get for what happened in a single minute, papasok ko yan. Para nakikita ako. Usually, I do it on paper. Mano-mano siya. And then, after yung papel, computer na. Para ando na lahat ng detalye, oras, lahat. And then, same for transcript. My notes, yung transcript, I break it down to what it means. If I'm writing in English, and in most cases, I write in English, I translate. After ng translation, ibig sabihin, bawat elemento ng investigation, kaharap mo na, ready na sila. Everything is broken down. Even, for example, kung may speech si Duterte, si Pangulong Duterte na relevant, or si former police chief Bato, ibig sabihin, napakinggan ko na. Nakuha ko na yung mga relevant points. Narinig ko na, nakita ko na kung paano sila gumalaw, nag-notes na ako. So may breakdown yan. Every element is broken down into very, very small pieces. And then, when I'm surrounded by that, that's when I take out my paper. Papel na talaga. I put down every element I think is relevant. Ano pa siya? Random pa siya. Kinukuha ko lang. Feeling ko importante to. And even for filmmakers, for photographers, it's a wide edit. Lahat. Diba? Yung timeline mo, katabi mo na eh. So, yun na, negotiable yun. Paghawak mo na lahat, asa papel na ako, listala lahat ng elements. Siguro that's 20-30 pages. Depende, anong ginagawa ko. If it's a full chapter, mahaba yan. Pag madami na yung elemento, doon na, structure na, engineering na siya. Alam ko na what it's supposed to look like, what the argument is. I find the argument, then I find the structure, then I build the foundation. So, every paragraph is built and engineered towards something else and something else. So that when I sit in front of a blank page, I am not unarmed. Nakakatakot yun eh. Karap mo yung papel.
Mm-mm.
But when you've done the work, and this work sometimes takes 2-3 weeks, pag andyan na lahat, may mapa ka na. Alam mo kung saan pupunta bawat bagay. Alam mo na after the difficult sentence, it goes to the next difficult sentence. And then that's when your imagination takes over. And that's medyo the dangerous part na. Kasi on the page, mechanical yan eh. First the gunman, then the gunshot, then the child. What did the child say? So it's very technical. It's like the field. It's very technical. But when you put it into writing, ang nakasulat lang naman sa outline ko is point of death. Something like that. Or child is witness. Ibig sabihin, alam ko kanino lente. Doon na. Aso ka na. Then you have to work it through your head. You take all the notes. You reread them. That moment. That single moment. Kasi pag nag-outline ka naman, ibig sabihin, iiwan mo yung material. Alam mo lang kung saan ka pupunta. So, punta ako sa material. Tingnan ko yung interview ulit. Siguro papakinggan ko ulit. And then, engineer it again and again. Except this time, may video ka na sa utak mo. Nilalaro mo na. You're reversing it. You're turning it around. You're trying to see it from all angles. But yes, it means you live through it again and again and again. And then sometimes you get the one sentence that explains it. Or sometimes it's not about the scene. It's what someone else was seeing. Or what was it? There was a moment when I figured it out. Huh. Do you want the story?
Yes.
There was a shooting in Tarlac in 2020. The video went viral. It was one of the very, very rare cases na may video. Kasi, ano naman kami? We're witnesses to the aftermath in most cases. Ito, sa Tarlac, may police na bumaril ng isang nanay at anak niya. Ano lang, nagkaaway-away. Allegedly, bugso ng damdamin. So, pinanood ko yung video. Paulit-ulit, pinanood ko siya. And then, I was thinking, parang may kulang. Alam mo yung pag nanood ka ng pelikula, pero nabasa mo na yung libro. Alam mo yung sequence. Pero may mali. Yung pelikula, parang may nag-reverse, may kulang, may something. So, paulit-ulit ko pinanood yung final minute nung putukan na, tinay ko isulat. Kala ko mas madali kasi napapanood ko eh. It was only when I started writing na naintindihan ko kung anong kulang. Hinihintay ko yung bomba. Kailangan parang may marinig akong malakas, na malaki. Na I was looking for an explosion or a mushroom cloud or the thunder or something. I thought that something as final as a fatal gunshot required something more, more fanfare, more pomp, na yung turn from life to death dapat malaki yun eh. Instead, ang bilis. Parang ano lang, parang hammer lang, bang, tap and bang, bang, bang. It was 4 gunshots under 5 seconds. And that was it. It was no different from a crack of a hammer to a nail. Like a bullet hitting a man's temple at close range is no different from that. When I was writing it, I was going from the structure into the writing. I stopped. I figured something out. Not about the killing, not about anything, but about the process. I discovered that I had been seeing death in slow motion for many, many years. Since I was, what, 22, 23, covering my first kill. My first disappearance, actually. In that, I built moments, movement by movement. Yung pag-akyat ng braso, yung pag-tingin ng ulo, yung pag-kalabit nung daliri sa trigger. And uhugutin ko yan, kukunin ko yan sa autopsy report. babasahin ko lahat ng spot report, kakausapin ko lahat ng witness, lahat ng hindi nag-witness, lahat ng kapitbahay sa kabilang baryo kung may narinig sila, kakausapin ko yung polis, lahat. Ang punto, ma-reconstruct yun, yung final minute, nakasulat sa notes ko, kill scene. Reconstruct the final minute of a man's life so that you can see what I'm seeing in my head. And then I realized yung katotohanan na mas mabilis pa mag-type ng sentence kaysa pumatay ng tao. Doon ako nagulantang. When you're a writer, that's a shock. When you've spent years doing it, and then you realize all the work and all the effort and all the hugeness in your head and the impact to the families and the lives that are destroyed. It took half a second and it didn't matter in that second. So all the process in the world, it can't protect you from that. But it is illuminating. So I am grateful for the illumination, if nothing else.
Bigat. And ano, Pat, no? Siguro ano, hindi pa rin mawala sa isip ko yung paano mo siya napapagpag at napapagpag ba siya or kumakapit ba siya at bahagi na ng sarili mo. Each and every encounter mo na yan.
Yan na anong term eh, pagpag. Nung nasa night shift kami, every night, pagpag. Diba? Hindi ko malagay sa libro eh, kasi ang hirap explain ang pagpag to dust off, right? Mm-hmm. And every night, depende kung feel na namin na tapos na. Minsan mali kami. Minsan nakaupo na kami sa kainan. Hawak ng tinidor, may alert. May isa pa. Lahat kami, hugot ng mga camera. May isang moment, alala ko may isang photographer. Hawak na yung tinidor. Kaharap na niya yung... Di ko alam kung ano kanakain niya nun eh. Tapsilog. Kaharap na niya yung tapsilog. Sabi niya, ayoko na. Uupo ako dito, kakain ako. Ayoko na. So, iniwan namin lahat ng gamit sa kanya. Lipad kami. Pero yun, pagpag, di ba? The point ng pagpag is hindi mo iuwi yung aura ng patay. Pag bumisita ka ng lamay, pag bumisita ka ng libing, daan ka muna ng Jollibee, daan ka muna ng kung saan, kape ka muna. Or kami minsan, pag walang dadaan, no, magsa 7-Eleven, bili ng kape at gummy bears. Uuwi ka, tapos na. Nakahinga ka na. Mahirap to pagpag eh. Palagay ko, kasama sa trabaho, iuwi mo yung kwento. And kung swerte ka, baka may makalimutan ka minsan na iba, pero ang sa akin kasi andan yung guilt eh, pag nakalimutan mo. So, yun lang yun. Ganun lang. Kargahin mo lang. Kasi, di ka naman yung dumaan doon eh. Ang daming namatayan, ang daming nawala ng anak. Ano naman yung kargahin mo yung pinagdaanan niya ng konti? Parang ang bastos sabihin ay ang lala ng pinagdadaanan ko kung grabing brutal yung pinagdaanan niya.
Parang hirap din nun pata, no? Na parang kaya ikaw rin yung kinukumusta ko eh kasi parang malubha talaga yung mga nakikita mong nangyayari, no? Mga pinapatay, namamatayan, pero parang ano rin yung binibigay mo sa sarili mong espasyo para ano rin, para sa sarili mo. Kasi ang hirap din na ikumpara yung nararamdaman ng mga tao na nakikita mo sa ikaw mismo na nakakita rin ng mga pangyayari na yon. So, yun, napagbibigyan mo rin ba yung sarili mo minsan na ano, na okay lang na ikaw din, na mahirapan ka rin and okay lang na kasabay nung pagdadalamhati nila, ikaw din ay nakakaramdam ka rin, tao ka rin, di ba?
Oo naman. Kasi, hindi naman kami camera eh. So, walang delete ng memory. Diba? Kahit malabas mo yung story, anang sa'yo pa rin yan. So, trauma journalism goes two ways. The journalism is trauma-informed in that alam mo yung pinagdadaanan ng mga tao and you try as much as you can. And we're going to fail. I've failed many times. To be as respectful and as ethical in the moment. But it also goes another way. That you're trauma-informed about yourself. Na you know na may limit. Siguro, may limit. Na may babanggain ka rin na sarili mong padere. And many of us did this for years. Day after day. And I did this for many years before this as well. Just not with the same velocity. So, I'm not going to pretend na walang personal impact. And I would hate that a young journalist watches this and say, ah, madali lang. Kasi, ano eh, mahirap kung hindi mo alam papasukin mo eh. And in most cases, half the time, hindi ko rin alam pinapasok ko eh. So, I would say that the best thing is to have a tribe. The night shift, they were phenomenal. Sobrang swerte ko na andun sila. People like Rafi Lerma, Vincent Go, Eloisa Lopez, Ezra Akayan. All of us have had to make very strange choices across the war. I heard Ezra say once when I was interviewing him, I'm human first before I'm a journalist. I suspect I'm not. I might be a journalist first. And if I weren't, I don't know if I would have survived the war or other things. Because I need lines in my head. But it matters you have a tribe of people who have your same very odd sense of mission. I don't know what the mission is, but we all seem to believe it. We all know that when there's a body on the ground, we stop. There was a point during the coverage that we would be driving down places. And then, chill lang. Ah, di ba doon namatay yung isang, yung itong 7-Eleven, doon siya namatay last week. Or we would be at a street corner smoking and, di ba doon lang yung bahay kung saan may tatlo namatay. So, it's a terrible thing. But it's also a good thing to know that all of us know what we're doing, have seen the same thing. Na if we're standing over a body, and then I would step away. Someone would step back with me and light my cigarette for me and would do the same. May kasama kami magpagpag na when it got bad for any one of us, may sasandalan. Para hindi mo kailangan iuwi sa mga pamilya mo, sa mga boyfriend mo, sa mga kapatid mo. Para you don't re-traumatize other people as well. And what's great about that is when I screw up, they'll tell me. When I ask too many questions, when I'm too direct, or when there are moments of wait, sobra na to, backup muna tayo, or pat kulang pa yan, go pa, sugod muna, sayang eh. So yung mga ganun, it really matters. It doesn't mean that there's no trauma on our ends. It's just helpful. The phrase of the DART Center for Trauma and Journalism, or I'm a fellow, is really self-care. To try as much as you can. It's hard. It's hard because we all have the same compulsion to go out. Mm-hmm. So, ang sa akin, I used to say that the proper answer was nicotine, caffeine, whiskey. That doesn't work. Doesn't work all the time. And it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I will say, it helps good friends to have a good family, and sometimes that family is one you create on your own.
Mm-mm.
And to also know when you have to step back and to ask for help. Mm-mm. When there are days where you just say, I'm going to be useless today. I'm going to sit here and watch Star Trek. Or for me, what's very particular about me. Iba-iba kami. Ang particularity sa akin, I don't watch movies with sad endings. I can't read a book where anyone dies that I like. When there's a dog in a book, I Google if the dog dies.
Oh my God.
In a movie theater, I once watched Spider-Man. I don't know which Spider-Man it was anymore. You know, Uncle Ben always dies in the beginning, right? I walked into the theater hoping he wouldn't, believing he wouldn't. And when he did, there was the voice of a woman from the back of the theater going, "Please don't die, Uncle Ben." And it was me. It was begging. So everyone I know makes sure na alam ko mangyayari. And they don't make me feel bad if I never walk into the theater.
Baka dahil ano, no, nangyayari na talaga sa totoong buhay, pati ba naman sa movies, may ganun pa.
Yeah. So you take your joy where you can take it.
Mm-mm.
You know, you watch a Korean novella.
Mm-mm.
You read a love story.
Mm-mm.
And I'm always offended at Korean dramas that don't end perfectly happily.
Sa listeners natin na may mga alam na movies na walang mangyayaring.
Yes, feel diba? Free. Books, movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, i-forward yung kay Pat. No? Forward
yes.
yung kay Pat. Paulan na natin siya ng mga
yes.
books, stories, movies na ano.
Yes.
Maganda naman ang ending.
But they have to be well-written or
nako,
well-produced.
Ayan na. Ayan na.
Kasi may pitik sa likod ng ulo ko eh. Na nagdadrama. Kasi kailangan mag-suspend yung disbelief mo, di ba? That for 2 hours in a day, you believe that you are a soldier of the galaxy taking over and that you're going to fight the bad guys. Eh kung pangat yung pagkasulat, edi ano gagawin mo? Diba? That's the point of any story. To
yeah.
hold you for an hour, for 2 hours. To hold you completely that all that matters is that single story.
Nahirapan na tuloy ako mag-recommend sa'yo. Pero yun niya, yun talaga ang challenge, no? Yun ang challenge sa writing, no? Diba?
Yes.
Meron pa akong ibang questions, Pat.
Okay.
No? Tingnan natin. Kasi kanina gusto ko sanang sabihin na ano eh, ilang taon inabot yung book bago natapos, ano? Pero dahil sa pag-explain mo ng process, how grueling the process is, parang sabi ko, nabago yung question ko to ano eh. Buti natapos mo ng 5 years, yung...
Oh, God. Yeah. Gulat din ako eh. I'm slow. I'm really slow. I go through the process. And every time I try to jump the process, pumapalya. Occasionally, nangyayari. Like, I write for the ear. In that, I know how it's supposed to sound. And very rarely does it sound the way I think it should sound. Pero may tono eh. So, minsan, for example, in the aftermath of a wake, nakuha ko na lahat ng material. Minsan, nakaupo ako sa labas ng kotse, nag-iossi. May lalabas mga 2-3 paragraph that will stay in the book. And nagugulat ako pag nangyayari yun. So, that's one of the times, I think, that when you were asking about enjoyment, it is it's a delight in the craft. In that, uy, pwede pala mangyari yun. Regardless of what it's about. Na sometimes it just blows through your head and then you spit it out. That's rare. That rarely happens. So is it shocking? The book came out when it did? Hell yeah. Sobra. I was beginning to think it was never going to happen. The fact-checking process took 3 months, early last year, early this year. It was early this year. It was brutal. I was running a team of 7-8 people. Some of the best reporters out there. Lahat ng pangalan nila nasa likod ng libro. Pero since public naman, can I name them?
Yes.
Mike Navallo, who is a brilliant reporter, a justice reporter for ABS-CBN, Lian Buan for Rappler, Sofia Toma Cruz, defense reporter. Rambo Talabong, formerly on the crime beat. And then, trying not to miss any names, Krisha Subing-Suling of the Enquirer, fantastic fact checker. And then there were others who helped out, Joe Desgavilan, Michelle Abad of Rappler. But it was a team of seven, sometimes eight, sometimes nine, depending who would pull in. And the reason fact checking was brutal was because I'm obsessive. And I have to be obsessive because there's so much at stake. I get one thing wrong, I don't know what the repercussions are to other people. But for example, and this is proof of how phenomenal it is, the book came out this year, going through this process. If Rodrigo Duterte said one thing, it meant I had it on transcript. That transcript existed at the Presidential Communications Office during the administration. Because I started the book midway through the administration, we had time. Hinugot namin lahat yan. So official transcript siya. Pero marami siyang sinabi na hindi nag-transcript. Kasi hindi official statements. Hugot yun sa mga interview, transcribe the interviews. Or may mga news report na wala kaming recording. Kasi narinig lang ni reporter. So hugot yung news report. After we hear the line, after I write it down, if it's in the book already, I fact check myself. But I should not be trusted. So my fact checker would take the line, look at it kung tama yung transcript, kung tama yung sourcing ng transcript, yung date, lahat-lahat. And that's problematic. Kasi tinanggal na lahat. Wala na siya sa website. Most of it, nilipat ng link or kung ano man. So we have a record of acquisition. And then the fact checker will look at the line and then will watch the video. At some point in the 6 years of the book, I would have watched the video. But what if I was wrong? So the fact checker will watch the video, will check against transcript. Remember, transcript Tagalog.
Mm-hmm.
So titingnan yung transcript sa Tagalog. And then iche-check, tama ba translation ko? May mga okasyon na hindi ako tama. And kilala mo si Mikael De Lara ko na siya yung second level of translation. Chinek niya lahat ng translation ko versus the original. Yung mga direct translation, kung tama rin. And may mga moment, dahil si Pangulong Duterte ang kinukot, mahirap mag-translate. Kasi ang putang ina, maraming ibig sabihin. You can go from God damn it to shit to son of a bitch to motherfucker to motherfuck to God to anything to God damn, diba? So ninunuance yung language titingnan. Because ayoko rin naman na mawala yung ibig sabihin dahil lang isa lang yung salita natin. So titingnan isa-isa. May mga moment hindi lang naman si Pangulong Duterte, mga pulis, mga kung sino-sino ang titingnan mo yung translation. May moment, tumawag sa akin fact checker ko, Pat, mali ka. Sabi mo, son of a bitch. Mali yan. Sabi ko, bakit? Hindi niya sinabi putang ina. Sabi niya, hindi. Puking ina. Sabi ko, ano gagawin ko? Kasi, fluent naman ako sa pagmumura eh. Pero siguro, hindi ko alam kung dahil babae ako. Never ko nasabi puking ina. So, nawag ako sila Kael. Tsaka mga ibang makata, mga ibang manunulat na alam yung ginagawa ko na lahat nakapirma ng non-disclosure agreement. Padala sa Telegram group. Binigay yung original, binigay yung translation ko, ano pwede natin gawin? Sabi nila, una mali translation ko. Obviously, hindi son of a bitch yan. Ang suggestion was either motherfuck or for fuck's sake. Dalawa. So, pili ka ulit. And then, titingnan namin against context, lahat. Every line. Ganun yung proseso ng libro. Kaya matagal. So, that's fact-checking. And then, there are beta readers. people who would read chapters, mga kaibigan ko na pinagkakatiwalaan ko na may expertise sa mga area, whether it's history, whether it's whatnot, would also be part of it. And there is a historian named Aaron Maliari who did the fact-checking of the historical chapter. So, lahat pasada. And that's only the technical. Mag-due diligence ka pa. Lahat ng police na pinangalanan, all the way hanggang sa presidente, padala ng tanong. I think I did that around May this year. And syempre, dahil obsessive ako na manunulat, bawat sentence ina-arrange, kailangan tingnan, bawat comma, kailangan i-check. So, matagal siya na proseso.
Again, ano? Paano mo siya nagawa in 5 minutes?
The answer to that, I have a phenomenal editor from Random House. His name is Mark Warren. I have a phenomenal copy editor. His name is Craig Adams. Grabe yung, ano talaga, yung suporta. And an editor is a relationship. Na parang, sometimes sasabihin niya, kulang bayag ko. Diretsohin mo na pa. Huwag na tayo umikot. Kaya mo naman eh. And then sasabihin ko, hindi ko kaya. I cannot say this. I do not dare. And he would say, Pat, you need a diamond hard sentence here that says exactly what this man is. And I would say, if the sentence isn't there, it means I don't dare do it. Because I don't have the material behind it. I'm not confident. Then he would go, do the sentence, and then let's see. Sabi ko, how about you don't talk to me for a week, and then I'll figure it out. In the aftermath of that, I took 2 weeks. I stopped replying. I came back with 2 chapters. It was chapter 7 and 8. It's called How to Identify an Addict and How to Kill an Addict. It was because he wanted that one sentence. I wasn't comfortable with that one, so I wrote 8,000 words. But that's the thing. It's a relationship. It's a process. And that also is the rewarding part. When you're throwing lines and someone throws back.
Yeah.
And then I would go, but it's too dramatic. And he would go, no, not in that context. But that sentence, Pat, that sentence not doing the job. It's not writing. Carry the person through it. So this book, it takes a village. Yeah. It really takes a motherfucking village.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Lalong ano eh, lalong kumapal yung book for me. No, dahil sa kwento mo, ang dami palang bakas no ng daliri ng iba-ibang tao dun sa bawat page.
Truly, if anyone's listening here, I would recommend, one, read the acknowledgements. Matters to me.
Yeah.
And two, may oras kayo. Basahin naman yung 80 pages ng endnotes sa dulo.
Namnamin natin yung yung last pages na yan. Pero yun, yung isa kong takeaway din talaga, fact-checking and truth-telling, napakahirap gawin. No, pero kailangan gawin. No, kaya ganun ka, grabing proseso yung ginawa nyo na umabot sa point na kailangan himayin ang poking ina.
Pero kailangan naman eh. It's not like I put a particular standard to it. That's the way it's supposed to be naman talaga.
Mm-mm.
It's just that, swerte yung pribilehyo na may oras.
Mm-mm.
Dati naman nung nasa Rappler ako sa ibang lugar, ganun naman ako. Ganun din yung mga ibang reporter. It's just that walang oras, wala kang team. Ikaw mag-isa. Suyod ka. Pero, of course, may mga lumalampas. Kasi nga, kulang yung proseso dahil walang oras. Sobrang swerte lang talaga na napilit yung oras. 2 months, 3 months, nakayanan.
Wow. Shout out sa lahat ng mga tumulong kay Pat din finish this book. Ayoko nang tanungin eh kung hanggang ngayon meron ka pang mga sentences dyan na gustong balikan eh.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. On publication day, my editor sent me an email. Stop revising in your head.
Baka dapat may Kindle version to na ano eh, na pwedeng...
Na pwede galaw-galawin, di ba? Oo, yeah.
Ito yung version as of ano, November 1.
Yes.
Tapos iba na naman siya na parang...
Yes.
Ay, pero baka part yung letting go talaga. And pagpapaubaya na dun sa nasulat.
I know. I'm getting used to it.
Laban, laban. And Pat, siguro ito na yung final question ko. Kasi again, ano, sana hanapin nyo yung YouTube video na yun ni Pat na grabe. No? May isa ka pang sinabi doon na journalism will not save the world. No? And iniisip ko baka yung ibig sabihin mo doon, di ba? Huwag nating i-pedestalize yung journalism na yung storytelling, truth-seeking happens within the context of vast structural inequities and injustices. At huwag nating ipataw sa kanya yung responsibilidad na iligtas ang mundo. No? Kaya, tanong ko, no, from where you sit as an observer of everything that's happening in the world, as a human being, no, what could save the world? Or wala ba? Are we all doomed? Or does it need saving?
I am not qualified to answer that question. I will say that not believing that journalism, it's a very trite way of putting it. It's very glib, you know, journalism won't save the world. And that no single thing will save the world. It's not a, who was it? Martha Gellhorn, who said, it's not a magic bullet. And I think I fixated on that a little while because when I was younger, I really thought journalism could change things. That the problem with people is that they didn't know. And here I am. I'll let you know. I did the work. I saw the dead. I have seen the homes of the impoverished and the assaulted and all of that. You know, you're young and stupid. So I thought all I had to do was write it out. And then maybe things will change. And then after that, when things kept, you know, no justice, none of that. And I thought, maybe it's my fault in that I'm not doing the story right. But there's only so far that you can do the gymnastics of language. And there's only so much investigation you can do before you lose your own head. So in my wiser years, I realized that the only way I could do the job is to negotiate my own expectations. Not necessarily the public's even. That the only responsibility I have of this moment is to keep a record, a good one, as good as it can get. I want to honor the people who told me their stories. There is no way to overemphasize the amount of courage that they had to let me tell the story, the amount of faith it required. And I still don't know if I did them right. And obviously, I know the situations their lives are in. And whether or not the book does well or not, their lives don't get better, don't change unless somebody decides, well, this is important. So I just want to keep a good record. I want to keep it as well as I can to make it as compelling as possible so that maybe someday it might be useful when a reckoning is possible. But even if not, because I have negotiated my expectations, I just wanted the ability to say I was not silent when this was happening. You know, diba? I think it's somewhere there in those pages that the thousands who died were killed with the permission of many of my people. I just didn't want to offer mine.